particularly sumptuous, but he felt that he had a right to a certain amount of luxury. Sitting at the head of the small dining table in his private wardroom, he smiled as he recalled that the great 15th-century Chinese admiral Zheng He had included pleasure women among the crews of his great vessels of exploration and trade. At least I have not gone that far, Yamagata thought, although the memory of the Sundsvall woman still lingered in the back of his mind. Seated at his right was Bishop Danvers, sipping abstemiously at a tiny stemmed glass of sherry. He was a big man with heavy shoulders and considerable bulk, yet he looked soft, round of face and body, although Yamagata noticed that his hands were big, heavy with horny calluses and prominent knuckles, the hands of a bricklayer, Yamagata thought, on the body of a churchman. On Yamagata's left sat Victor Molina, an astrobiologist from some Midwestern American university. The ship's captain, Chuichi Shibasaki, sat at the far end of the table. Bishop Danvers had come along on Himawari because the new morality had insisted that Mercury Base must have a chaplain, and the project manager had specifically asked for Danvers to take up the mission. Danvers, however, showed no inclination to leave the comforts of the ship and actually go down to the planet's surface. Hardly any of the ship's mainly Japanese crew paid the scantest attention to him, but the bishop did not seem to mind their secularist indifference in the slightest. Sooner or later, he would go down to Goethe Base and offer the men and women there his spiritual guidance, if anyone wanted some. What would the bishop think of pleasure women? Yamagata wondered, suppressing a grin. Danvers put down his barely touched glass and asked in a sharp, cutting voice, "Victor, you don't actually expect to find living creatures on Mercury, do you?" Victor Molina and Bishop Danvers knew each other, Yamagata had been told. They had been friends years earlier. The bishop had even performed Molina's wedding ceremony. Molina was olive-skinned, with startling cobalt-blue eyes and a pugnacious pointed chin. His luxuriant sandy hair was tied back in a ponytail, fastened by a clip of asteroidal silver that matched the studs in both his earlobes. He had already drained his sherry and answered the bishop's question as one of the human waiters refilled his glass. "Why not?" he replied a trifle belligerently. "We found living organisms on Mars and the moons of Jupiter, haven't we?" "Yes, but..." "And what about those enormous creatures in Jupiter's ocean? They might even be intelligent." The bishop's pale eyes snapped angrily. "Intelligent? Nonsense. Surely you can't believe..." "It isn't a matter of belief, Elliot. It's a question of fact. Science depends on observation and measurement, not some a priori fairy tales." "You're not a believer," the bishop muttered. "I'm an observer," Molina snapped. "I'm here to see what the facts are." Yamagata thought that Dr. Molina could use some of the Lama's lessons in humility. He found himself fascinated by the differences between the two men. Bishop Danvers's round face was slightly flushed, whether from anger or embarrassment, Yamagata could not tell. His hair was thinning, combed forward to hide a receding hairline. "He refuses to take rejuvenation treatments," Yamagata guessed. "It must be against his religious principles." Molina, on the other hand, looked like a young Lancelot. Piercing eyes, flowing hair, strong shoulders. Yamagata pictured him on a prancing charger, seeking out dragons to slay. Before the discussion became truly disagreeable, Yamagata tried to intervene. "Everyone was quite surprised to find creatures living in the clouds of Venus, and even on that planet's surface," he said. "Silicon snakes with liquid sulfur for blood," Captain Shibasaki added, taking up on his employer's lead. Bishop Danvers shuddered. "Incredible organisms," Molina said. "What was that line of Blake's? Did he who make the lamb make thee?" He stared across the table at the bishop, almost sneering. "But none of those creatures have the intelligence that God gave us," Danvers countered. "Those Jovian leviathans just might," said Molina. The table fell silent. At a nod from Yamagata, the two waiters began to serve the appetizers, smoked eel in a seaweed salad. Yamagata and the captain fell to with chopsticks. The two others used forks. Yamagata noted that neither of the gaijin did more than pick at the food. Ah, well, he thought, they'll feel more at home with the steak that comes next. Bishop Danvers wouldn't let the subject drop, however. "But surely you don't expect to find anything living down on the surface of Mercury," he said to Molina. "I'll grant you it's not the most likely place to look for living organisms," Molina admitted. "The planet's been baked dry. Except for the ice caches near the poles, there's not a drop of water anywhere, not even deep underground." "Then what makes you think Paz?" said Molina. "I beg your pardon?" "Paz," Molina repeated. The bishop frowned. "Are you being deliberately rude to me, Victor?" "I believe," Yamagata intervened, "that our noted astrobiologist is referring to a certain form of chemical compound." "The polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons," Molina agreed. "PAH. Paz." "Oh," said Bishop Danvers. "You have found such compounds on the surface of Mercury?" Yamagata asked. Nodding vigorously, Molina replied, "Traces of Paz have been found in some of the rock samples sent for analysis by the people building your base down there." "And you believe this indicates the presence of life?" Danvers challenged. "A trace of some chemicals?" "Paz are biomarkers," Molina said firmly. "They've been found on Earth, on other planets, on comets, even in interstellar clouds." "And always in association with living creatures?" Yamagata asked. Molina hesitated a fraction of a second. "Almost always. They can be created abiologically under certain circumstances." Danvers shook his head. "I can't believe anything could live on that godforsaken world." "How do you know God's forsaken this planet?" Molina challenged. "I didn't mean it literally," Danvers grumbled. "How strong is this evidence?" Yamagata asked. "Does the presence of these compounds mean that life is certain to be found on Mercury?" "Nothing's certain," Molina said. "As a matter of fact, the Paz deteriorate very rapidly in the tremendous heat and totally arid conditions down there." "Ah," said the bishop, smiling for the first time. Molina's answering smile was bigger and fiercer. "But don't you see? If the Paz deteriorate quickly, yet we still find them present in the rocks, then something must be producing them constantly. Something down there must be continuously creating those complex, fragile compounds. Something that's alive." The bishop's face blanched. Yamagata suddenly foresaw his sun power project being invaded by armies of earnest environmentalists, each eager to prevent any activity that might contaminate the native life forms. Goethe Base. Dante Alexios sat rigidly in his chair and tried not to let his satisfaction show on his face. The wall screen in his office clearly showed the earnest, intent expression on Molina's face. "He wants to come down to the base," Alexios said to himself, delighted. "He's asking me for permission to come down here." "My mission is sanctioned by the International Astronautical Authority," Molina was saying, "as well as the International Consortium of Universities and the Science Foundations of..." "Of course," Alexios interrupted. "Of course. I have no intention of interfering with your important research, Dr. Molina. I was merely trying to explain to you that conditions down here on the surface are rather difficult. Our base is still fairly rugged, you know." Molina's intent expression softened into a smug smile. "I've been in rugged places before, Mr. Alexios. You should see the site on Europa, with all that radiation to protect against." "I can imagine," Alexios replied dryly. "Then you have no objection to my coming down to your base?" "None whatsoever," said Alexios. "Our facility is at your disposal." Molina's bright blue eyes sparkled. "Wonderful. I'll start the preparations immediately." And with that, Molina ended the transmission. Alexios's wall screen went suddenly blank. He didn't bother to thank me or even to say goodbye, Alexios thought. How like